Word of mouth.
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 Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Taylor Quimby in for Virginia Prescott. The electric car company Tesla has been on the defense since a car accident in May turned the attention of the nation towards its much-vaunted autopilot feature, which offers driverless steering, a sort of stepping stone towards the driverless cars that many assume are the future of road travel. So far, several agencies are investigating the crash, but it's a product review magazine that's making a direct call for Tesla to make changes to its autopilot system. For decades, Consumer Reports, that same magazine that tests toaster ovens and vacuums, has played an important role as watchdog for the car industry. And joining us now is Jake Fisher, Director of Automotive Testing for Consumer Reports. Hi, Jake.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Of course. And also with us, Laura McCleary, Vice President of Policy and Mobilization. Hello, Laura.
Hi there.
So, Jake, I'm going to start with you. Give us a quick reminder, please, of what this feature, autopilot, is and what it is that Consumer Reports thinks needs to change.
Sure. So autopilot is really a suite of different systems that are on the Tesla Model S and the Model X. And there are many things in there that are actually very similar with items you could get on different cars. So it comes from maintaining speed behind the car in front of you and automatic emergency braking, things like that. But what we're really honing in on is a system that is called auto steer. So this is a system that actually will make sure that the car stays in its lane and drives along in that lane even when it turns. Now, we have seen systems like this before, but where autopilot really is different is it allows you to keep your hands off the wheel for a prolonged time. In our tests, 3 minutes, sometimes even longer. And that really causes a problem because once you're disengaged with the car, you're not really in control of the vehicle. It's very easy to let your mind wander. It's very easy to be distracted or not really be engaged with what's going on the road. And in that situation, if something does happen where you need to take over, you may not be able to do it very quickly. And keep in mind, Tesla is not a autonomously driven car. It is not a self-driving car. It is certain features that can do basically fairly dumb things. My 8-year-old son, he could drive the car between the lanes, but if there's an emergency up there, I wouldn't want him to be in control.
Right.
And the system right now is not that advanced. It can't recognize what the object is in front of you. It can't recognize there's a pothole and I need to avoid it. So it really requires the driver to be engaged and watch what goes on.
But this really ends up sort of being a question of behavior because the technology itself, may or may not be helpful. It may or may not be something drivers like. But your call sort of says, listen, consumers can't be trusted to use this correctly. Do I have that right?
Well, I think it's less about being trusted and more about consumers being misled about what the capabilities of the system really are. Really, even the name autopilot gives you the idea that it really can drive by itself.
Right. Now, Laura, you've probably heard Tesla owner Elon Musk actually addressed some of these calls for reform directly in his recently released, quote, master plan part two. Do you know what he had to say and whether or not you have any thoughts about his response?
We'll have to wait and see what the kind of technology upgrades that they're talking about are. They certainly have indicated that they want to see some changes to the autopilot system, and we'll evaluate those when they are beamed into the Teslas that we own in our vehicle fleet. I think, in terms of our broader perspective, the issue is that Tesla may not be very responsibly communicating the limitations of its system. So we want consumers to be very aware of where the system can help them drive and whether or not it's appropriate for them to take their hands off the wheel. A lot of the other automakers have designed in systems where it makes it more clear that it's not really about drivers being able to stop paying attention to the road. And we think that safety features should enhance safety, not detract from it, and therefore the human factors piece has to be designed into the protocols for any new safety part of a technology in a car.
Of course, these in some ways are probably the most reasonable changes you could make, given that you wouldn't have to actually recall any vehicles. You would really just have to do some education and maybe change some branding.
Change some branding, change the software that's in the cars to trigger alerts before the current sensors would trigger them, and then change some of the marketing, yeah.
I'm speaking with Jake Fisher, Director of Automotive Testing for Consumer Reports, and also Laura McCleary, she's Vice President of Policy and Mobilization at Consumer Reports, about their direct call for Tesla to make some substantial changes to the autopilot feature that's now under investigation after a fatal crash in May. Laura, what makes you decide as an organization when something rises to this level of really requiring direct action or intervention? You know, surely there have been lots of potentially dangerous or distracting features in new cars these past few years. Why does this rise to this level?
Well, that's the sort of thing that we discuss and debate all the time internally at Consumer Reports. And we feel we have a responsibility that, to the public to follow the facts. We have a unique set of capacities. We have our own test track and our own vehicle fleet. We can have we have our own testing labs, and we can make first-person data-driven conclusions about the safety of products based on protocols that we've been developing for decades. And so we take that responsibility very seriously, both to our members and to the larger public in terms of our role in educating and informing consumers and federal agencies about problems as they arise and in real time. That's part of the answer. Another part of the answer is that we think that this safety situation with Tesla is a little bit unique. There are mostly, in the world of safety features, if a safety feature fails to operate properly, mostly you just don't get the benefit of that safety feature. So if an electronic stability control system doesn't work properly, you know, a consumer may not benefit, but no one's uniquely endangered by that system. Whereas we felt in this case with Tesla, given that the system was being oversold, it might actually pose a new kind of novel risk to drivers and to those who share the road with them.
You know, it's funny, you mentioned the test tracks and all the work that you do when you're reviewing cars. And it struck me that the work that you do sort of harkens back to, you know, this idea of a golden age of journalism, you know, investigative work, really deep stuff, as opposed to, you know, say, just checking out a toaster and saying, oh, it's a pretty good toaster. Jake, do you see the work that you do as a form of investigative journalism?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, first of all, for the record, I don't really know much about toasters. So, I mean, we have a test track here in Connecticut. We have 327 acres, and we do lots of cars. So, I mean, we're in a unique situation where we're driving basically all the new vehicles that come to market, and we're really putting them through their paces. So we're really experiencing them much longer than, you know, if you were to read a car magazine or something, they may get the car for a week. I mean, we purchase everything that we test. So, I mean, we're living with these cars for months and months, and if not longer. And then even past that, we're talking to hundreds of thousands of customers of these vehicles and asking for their experiences too. So, I mean, we really do kind of get a unique perspective on what's going on with these cars.
Now, Laura, do you have any thoughts about where you see Consumer Reports continuing to have an important role in the future? I'm wondering, as we move towards driverless vehicles, is this going to be a more or less important area for the type of work that you're doing going forward?
Oh, I think it's very important. There's going to continue to be a lot of need for strong consumer-facing advocacy voices in this space. We're looking for federal guidelines from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration to be issued in the next month or so, or even potentially longer than that, and we'll be responding to those guidelines. We're also working with experts like Jake internally and with other car advocates externally to formulate some principles for what we think could be the basis for performance standards for these kinds of systems. And we'll be calling on federal regulators to think about really putting some rubber to the road, if you will, in terms of the details of what should be expected of these kinds of systems before they're tested on consumers.
Well, Laura, thank you so much for speaking with me.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Laura McCleary is Vice President of Policy and Mobilization with Consumer Reports. Jake Fisher is Director of Automotive Testing for Consumer Reports. Jake, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
You can read their direct call for action regarding Tesla's autopilot feature and read Elon Musk's master plan for the electric car company. There are links at wordofmouthradio.org.